teaching is called How to Succeed Despite the Circumstances, and it's based on the story of Joseph. So we'll do what we always do. We'll hold up our Bibles and make our confession of faith. As we say, this is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is open. My heart is alert to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, ever-living seed of the Word of God. It will touch my heart, and it will change me. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody doing that at SPN? You're doing it? No. Nobody's doing it? Come on, guys, let that live on. Yeah, seriously now. Teach it to Father Dascanus. Maybe he'd like to have it. You think he'll do it? Okay. <You don't. laughs> Well, you and your small group, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Do it at the prayer meeting, small groups. Okay. So we're going to be talking about Joseph, the story of Joseph, which begins in Genesis 39. One of the major scriptures is that you're going to hear again and again, the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. The Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So two of the great laws of life that we all must eventually learn are these. Things don't always go as planned, number one. And number two is many circumstances in life are uncontrollable. That's why things don't always go as planned. So anyway, businesses we know go bankrupt, employees get fired, students get passed over for scholarships, business plans fall. This is a typo here. It doesn't say fail, it says. Okay, it's things don't always go as planned, and many circumstances in your life are uncontrollable. Life just doesn't always go the way we want it to go. Many things in life are beyond our control. There are many things in life that are caused by factors that we have no control over. For instance, you didn't choose who your parents would be. You didn't choose your race. You didn't choose what sex you were going to be. You didn't choose when and where you would be born and the circumstances surrounding your birth. These are the cards that were dealt in life. How you play them, the hand you make of them, is your choice. We all know people who have overcome great adversity to make their life count. And we're going to be talking about that regarding Joseph. Today we want to talk about succeeding in spite of your circumstances, in spite of whatever negative or challenging circumstances you may find in your life. We're going to go back to Joseph, who really made his life count. He went from a prisoner, a slave in a prison, to becoming the second highest ranking person in the nation of Egypt, which was the most powerful country at that time. He went from the pit to the palace. Beth Moore picked that up, didn't she? Pit to the palace, yeah. He was a success story. He showed that what counts in life is not your circumstances, but your character. The Bible says that character, not circumstances, will determine what you do with your life. So let's take a little review of Joseph's circumstances. His story is in Genesis 37 to 50. But for the sake of time, I'm not going to read 37 to 50. But we'll be going through many of those as we go through the teaching. And for your own personal reading, you know, after today, it's 37 to 50 Genesis. This story has it all. It has revenge, deceit, lust, seduction, attempted murder, violence, rape, and charges in prison. Now all these things were in Joseph's life. It would make a great NBC miniseries, wouldn't it? But we can summarize Joseph's difficulties in three words. First, he was rejected. So rejection is the first word. He was rejected at home. His dad liked him, but nobody else in his family did. He was seduced and slandered at work. So slandered would be the next word, the second word. And he was forgotten by friends. And that was for the first 30 years of his life. So for those formative years and those young adult years, nothing went right for Joseph. So on your outline, under Joseph's circumstances, the first word you want to put is rejected. He was rejected at home. He was the second to last of 11 children. There was a lot of rivalry and competition and bitterness in the family. The Bible says the brothers were jealous of Joseph. They were his stepbrothers. He came from a broken home. They didn't like him at home. Scripture says his brothers hated him so much they wouldn't speak to him in a friendly manner. One day they plotted, "Let's not kill him. Let's throw him into this well so he'll die without our ever having to touch him." That's real brotherly love, isn't it? They put him in the well, and soon some slave merchants came by whom they sold him to for 20 shekels. He was taken to Egypt and sold to a man named Potiphar. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Potiphar? Potiphar. 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 And he became a slave after he was sold. Overnight, he went from a pampered son to a slave. That's rejection, total rejection by his family. Some of you think you've been rejected. Joseph knows true rejection in many ways. Then he started working for Potiphar, and he was very successful. He was put in charge of everything in the home. But Potiphar's wife liked Joseph. She tried to seduce him, and the Bible says, after a while, his master's wife began to desire Joseph and asked him to go to bed with her. He refused, but she asked him day after day. She was a determined one, wasn't she? Sexual harassment in the workplace is about 4,000 years old. Maybe that's our first recorded case. It works both ways, men to men and women to men. Joseph refused. He holds on to his morals. Now we see our second fill in the blank. Let's not kill him. Let's throw him into this well. Genesis 37:22. And after a while, his master's wife, that's falsely accused. He was falsely accused at work. At one point, in a fit of passion, the Bible says that she grabbed him by the robe and he slithered out of it and lost his coat, but he kept his character. She framed him. She says, "When Daddy came home, I'm going to tell Potiphar that Hebrew slave tried to rape me." So that's where he's falsely accused. Sometimes jealous people will try to hurt. Excuse me. Sometimes jealous people will try to hurt us, and immoral people will try to tempt you, and ambitious people will try to use you. But you can still succeed if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. The Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in everything he did. So let's talk a little bit about Joseph's character. The three times in this passage it says the Lord was with Joseph. One plus God equals a majority, doesn't it? Why was God with Joseph? Because of his character. What was his character that made him so different? What do I do when circumstances seem to work against me and seem to work against and destroy my dream? What do I do to make my life count? How can I make an impact when it seems like everything is conspiring to make me mediocre? You do three things. First, we fulfill our responsibilities. Wherever you are, you do what God's called you to do right there, and right now. We maintain our integrity. No matter what happens in the situations you're in, we keep our purity and integrity and maintain our standards. And thirdly, we trust in God's sovereignty. If you'll do those three things that are so simple, you'll be a success in spite of your circumstances, which is what is exactly what Joseph did. Fulfill your responsibilities, maintain your integrity, and trust in God's sovereignty. And you see that under Joseph's character on your outline. He was dependable. He was reliable. He always gave his best no matter what. As a result of all that, he was promoted to leadership. First as a slave, Genesis 39:6 tells us Potiphar gave Joseph complete responsibility over everything he owned. Imagine that. Complete responsibility over everything. He had a trust about him too, didn't he? He hadn't a worry in the world with Joseph there. Joseph made every decision in Potiphar's household except what Potiphar would eat. Potiphar had no worries. Can people say that about us when we're put in charge of something? That I don't have any worries because I know they'll handle it. The Bible said Potiphar prospered because of Joseph and because of Joseph's character. Do people say that about us? That, oh, it's so well organized. Oh, it's doing great. We're really prospering. We're really being successful because of what so-and-so or because of what this group is doing. Then what happened is Joseph got thrown into jail. The jailer soon handed over the entire prison administration to Joseph and had no more worries after that, for Joseph took care of everything. They thought he was incredible. They said about Joseph, you can't keep him down. You can't keep a good man down. He gets thrown into prison, and the next thing, his assistant warden. It's pretty good. The cream, as they say, rises to the top. If life gave him lemons, he made lemonade. Joseph is saying, I don't know why these things are happening to me, but I do know how I'm supposed to act. I don't know why these circumstances have been caused in my life, but I know who's the Lord of my life. It says whenever anybody turned any responsibility over to Joseph, he didn't have to have any worries at all because he was reliable. Eventually, Joseph got promoted. Again, Pharaoh said, who could do a better job than Joseph? For he is a man who is obviously filled with the Spirit of God. The quality of your work and your life reveals the quality of your spiritual life. The Holy Spirit was obvious in Joseph's life. Is that true in our life? There's a direct correlation between shoddy workmanship and a poor testimony. All of us as Christians ought to be the best we can be, whether it be in our families, in our homes, whether it be in our ministry, whether it be at work, no matter what we're doing. We're called to be the best, called to be the best wife, the best parent, best sister, the best mother, the best minister, whatever it is the Lord's calling us to do, because that's what we're representing. Amen? The reason why, in spite of circumstances, Joseph succeeded and ended up second in command in all of Egypt is because wherever he was, no matter where he was serving, he gave it his best shot. We heard this morning about not letting circumstances define us. He didn't let the circumstances that he was surrounded with, that he lived in, you know, that were closing in on him, define him and define his reality as the Son of God. But there's a law of success given to us in Luke 16:10. The person who is faithful in little things will be faithful in the big ones, and the one who cheats in the little things will cheat in the big ones too. So many times we say, you know, if we're faithful to the Lord in small things, he'll bring us the larger things, give us larger responsibilities. People say, well, when I make it big, when I get successful, I'm going to be faithful. What are you doing about the day-by-day responsibilities we have right now? Are we being faithful in the little things? When I get out of debt, I'm going to start tithing. If you're not faithful with whatever you have in a small way, how can we say we'll be faithful in a large way? We talked about something like this around the table when we were talking about the gift of tongues, the prayer language of the Holy Spirit. And one of the women were saying how some people in the small group are so timid about it and are kind of like afraid of it, you know. And I remember one of the first things I heard about it in 1975 was a person said, how can you say you give your whole life to the Lord if you're not willing to yield the smallest member of your body, which is your tongue, to the Lord? And I never forgot that, and I think that's so true. Doesn't that make sense? So, and this is saying the same thing. If we're not faithful in the small things, you know, if we are faithful in the small things, the Lord will bring them to increase. We need to fulfill our responsibilities no matter what we're doing and do the best that we can. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it all heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that the Lord is your real master, and he will reward you. God always rewards faithfulness, and he always rewards strong character. Some of us are waiting for something big to happen, but we're not being faithful to the small things the Lord has given us right now. How do you succeed in spite of your circumstances? First, we fulfill our responsibilities. And you're going to fill that in too. And you see the different scriptures that I've already referred to, but others for your own personal study. Then we look at Joseph maintained his integrity through everything. He was a man of absolute moral purity. And people in his time and that surrounded him said, what gives with this kind of man who maintains his spirit of purity and moral integrity even when his world is falling apart? Even when he has this woman seducing him each and every day, what motivates him? The Bible says two things. My master trusts me with everything in his entire household. How can I do such wicked things as this? It would be a great sin against God. So that was his thinking. That's how Joseph maintained his purity, maintained his morality in the midst of what he was living in. His loyalty to others and his love for God is what kept him focused. He saw being loyal to the people, even the people that had him in prison, the people that were telling him exactly what he needed to do, was a direct reflection on his love for the Lord, on his love for God. And in the long run, that was seen, wasn't it? Proverbs 14:32 tells us, wicked people bring about their own downfall by their evil, but good people are protected by their integrity. So we can see, we don't hear a whole lot about that through our different teachings and so forth, except, you know, this is saying a lot about it, but integrity is very important. You know, it's part of what forms our character. We reap what we sow. If you want to know about the foolishness of immorality, read, we've got here Proverbs 4, 5, and 6. It says, the man who commits adultery is a fool. He hurts his own soul. When you lower any area of integrity, it damages you. Notice that sometimes when you resist temptation of any kind, you're not going to feel good about it all the time. I think Father Dale mentioned that this morning about Moses. In fact, you're going to feel miserable. I'm sure Joseph was probably saying to himself when he kept turning down Potiphar's wife, I've got to be crazy to walk away from this. Nobody would ever know. But Joseph knew that he would know, and he knew that God would know. So this is the kind of vision we have to have when we're tempted to do something that we know is wrong. Look where Joseph's integrity got him. He says no, he gets fired, and he gets put in jail. How good do you think he felt about his integrity? The point is, in the long run, it always pays to do the right thing. In the short run, you may feel sad, but in the long run, you will feel glad. You'll say, thank God I didn't do that for a moment of pleasure or for an extra dollar. Potiphar's wife grabbed onto him, stole his coat. He left his coat and ran out of there, but he kept his character. Amen? Okay. Now, God's sovereignty. You turn over to the next fill in the blank. Trust in God's sovereignty. As a young man, God gave Joseph a dream of making an impact with his life. One day, in total naivety, he shared it with his brothers and dad. Not a good idea. God gave me this dream, he said, that one day I'm going to be a great king and everyone is going to bow down to me, even you guys. Isn't that great? Well, how would you like your younger brother or sister to say that to you? They weren't too excited about the idea. It was a right dream, but it was very naive of Joseph to share it with the wrong people. Big lesson in that, isn't it? For 30 years, Joseph's life went downhill. 30 years. During that entire 30 years, God never explained to him what was going on. This is what's happening. I'm in control, and I'm planning this, and all of these things are working out. Joseph was confused. He had no idea what that meant or what was going on. He had every reason to doubt God's love. God, you gave me this dream. What happened? He had every reason to be bitter. Why me, God? You gave me a dream, and now I end up a slave, falsely accused of rape, and in a prison in a foreign country. Things are not going well. But years later, it all became clear. The Bible tells us that Joseph was eventually promoted to be second in command under Pharaoh. He interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. He said, we're going to have 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. Pharaoh said, what should we do? Joseph said, we ought to start a national savings system where for 7 years we save all the extra crops and put them in storage, so that when the 7 years of famine come, Egypt will have all they want to eat. Pharaoh said, you're in charge. You do it. And he did it. The Bible says that God blessed Joseph so much that when the 7 years of famine came, not only did Egypt have more than enough food, but they had stored up so much that they had extra food, and they were able to share their food. So many years later, Joseph's own brothers came to Egypt to buy food from a man, unknowing that he was their brother. He was the brother that they tried to murder and then sell into slavery. What would you do in the face of that encounter? His second in command. He could just tell them to go away. He could order them to be executed. But he didn't. Genesis 45:7-8 says, God sent me ahead of you to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, he's saying to his brothers, but God. Two very important lessons in life we can learn if you're going to deal with circumstances. One, pain often has a hidden purpose. Pain often has a hidden purpose. We saw that in the story of Moses as well, didn't we, this morning? Usually you don't figure out what the purpose is until the pain is over. We rarely see the purpose of it while we're in pain. Secondly, God often redirects our lives to a failure, a mistake, a disappointment, a broken dream. He often rechannels our life the way he wants it to be. This is a story that gives us an example of just what we're talking about. It goes like this. His name is Joe. Joe says, when I was a sophomore in high school, I had one thing in my life. Politics. I wanted to be a politician. As a sophomore in high school, I received an appointment to the United States Senate as a page. I was going to go to Washington, D.C., where all the power and action is. You can tell this wasn't written this year. The summer I was to leave, they called me at the beginning and said, you're not coming until the fall. During that 3 months, I got a job as a lifeguard at a Christian camp while I was waiting to go to D.C., where all the power was. That's where I gave my life to Jesus Christ completely as a personal Lord and Savior. My life was turned around. My priorities were reorganized. I came back in the fall, and the appointment had been withdrawn. Pardon me, I think God knew what he was doing. That was a big disappointment to me at the time. But I think God knew just what I needed. If I had had my way, I would be some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. But God redirected my life through failure. It's a good story, isn't it? Again, Joseph said to his brothers, God sent me ahead of you. Notice his reaction to his brothers who tried to murder him. It's in Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Now, many of us have been harmed by other people. Could be a former spouse, a parent, a brother, sister, a teacher. They meant to harm you. There's no doubt about it. You know that in your heart. But God meant it for your good. He has a plan that is greater than your problem. God has a plan. That's a good thing to write down. God has a plan that is greater than your problem. So with the enemy, we always say, what the enemy wants for your harm, the Lord works out for good. One of the most popular words around today is the word victim. We all sometimes feel victimized. In Christ, you don't have to stay a victim. You can be a victor. Those people may mean it for bad, but God means it for your good. That's a fact of life. You don't have to allow people to continue to hurt you from the past. The whole root of the people that are doing this, the root cause of it, is bitterness. Bitterness is refusing to trust in God's sovereignty, which was one of the factors that kept Joseph in alignment with the Lord, with the scriptures, and to hold on to his strong character than he did. It reminds me, I remember we've used this many times in the different teachings, how we'll say, since most of us are women here, went to the counselor and she was like really angry with somebody in her life, and they had done her wrong, and she had every right to be angry and to feel the way she did. But the counselor said to her, "Do you want to get better or do you want to be bitter?" And just one letter changes those, but it can change a whole life. The good news in all of this is that we have a God that can turn it around. Our God can turn it around, no matter what it is. God can turn it around. They may mean it for harm, but God means it for good. Joseph had a persistent faith. He waited years for his dreams to come true. For 30 years, he waited. Even when he didn't understand, he trusted God. Where did his dreams get him? He could say to himself, well, got him into slavery. Where did his integrity get him? Well, that got him into prison. Where did his helping others get him? Didn't get him anywhere. But you don't see him bitter. You don't see him having a pity party. You see him staying strong to his responsibilities, to his integrity, and his belief in the sovereignty of God. So what we need to ask ourselves in light of all this, what do we do when circumstances dispute the dream God has given us? How do we handle that? Well, we should do what Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, which means don't try to figure it out. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this extremely difficult because I do try to figure it out. I do. And I know I can't figure it out. But yet it's that drive inside that you want to... I have a strong need to understand why certain things happen in everything. I've always been that way. And so that's where that drive to understand comes in. And even though, I mean, these are things I've highlighted because they certainly apply to me. Because even though I know we don't always understand God and the will of God, sometimes it shakes our vision of him and us with him or me with him. But Joseph is saying something completely different here in what helped him and what saw him through. And that is, we trust in him and lean not on our own understanding. So don't try to figure it out. Amen? Okay, so when I'm going through a circumstance, or when we're going through a circumstance we don't like, we ask ourselves questions usually. Is it my fault? Some things we bring on ourselves. What can I learn from this? And there's always things we can learn. And what does God want me, or how does God want me to act in this circumstance? Okay, Philippians 1:27 summarizes, I thought, Joseph's life. It says this, but whatever happens, make sure that your everyday life is worthy of the gospel of Christ. It's not so much what happens to you, but what happens through you. So, in closing, we say, what circumstances in your life have you been using as an excuse for not doing more with your life? How many if onlys do you have in the course of a day? Well, if only I had this, or if only they did this, or if only this didn't happen, or if only I was there. Or you all know, we all have our if onlys. Those are the things we're using as an excuse. How can I better maintain my integrity? You might say, listen to this, I think I've already lost it. We start over. That's how we maintain it. We start over. Remember, our God is the God of the second chance. And that just doesn't mean one, two. That means as many chances as we need. He's there. We let the blood of Christ make us clean and pure before him. I can't make much impact in my life, we might say. I've failed with my life. Well, when you study the Bible, you find out that many people had major, many of the star players in the scriptures had major failures in their life. Not little ones, but tiny, but big ones. So we bring these things before the Lord and know that even though they did, God used them. God used them to show humanity his love, his care, his forgiveness, his compassion, his mercy. Amen? And he can use us too. Remember, we heard this morning how vision helps create values, and values help us to stand firm in our character. So, Joseph's vision always was that he knew God was with him and that God would work it out. God would transform what was meant to be evil to him for his good. And that the short-term pain, do we trade off short-term pain for long-term gain? And I guess what struck me with that was this morning when we heard that life is short, although it doesn't always feel short, but it is short when you compare it to eternity. So therefore, the short-term pain is really short. And eternity, of course, will go on and on forever. So we're looking then at the integrity. And integrity is held firm by maintaining responsibilities, trusting in God's sovereignty. That's how he fulfilled his responsibilities.